You know, over the last 7 weeks, we've been studying the final 24 hours of Jesus' life. We went from 24 to 18 to 12, 10, and so forth. And on Good Friday, the clock ran out. Easter is the day when the clock restarted. And a funny thing happened for me in my living room at home. Laura and I have a clock that we've loved. We've had it for about 18 or 19 years, and a little over 10 years ago, the pendulum stopped working, and the mechanics of it were molded into the clock face, so I couldn't get it out to replace it, and we finally just got used to the pendulum just hanging still, because it's still a nice clock, and it keeps time. But at the beginning of Lent, just for fun, I pushed the pendulum, and it started swinging, and I thought, wow. Next day, it was still swinging. And it's been swinging all throughout the Lenten season. Now, this doesn't compare to someone rising from the dead, but it did give me goosebumps. Because every morning I would get up to pray, and I'd walk into the living room and sit down, and one of the first things I would notice is this pendulum had started working again after 10 years of not working. And it made me think about time as we went through the season of Lent. On Good Friday, the clock ran out for Jesus. But the clock started again on Easter Sunday. Human history also stopped and restarted. What year is it? 2020 means that we live today 2,020 years after Christ. And you would have never heard of Jesus if it wasn't for the fact that a whole lot of people claimed that he had risen from the dead and they saw him. He didn't rise symbolically. But he literally got up and walked out of a grave. The same people started living life in a new way, full of love and service and courage and generosity, and it changed the world. Now, these people were infected by a new kind of hope. And right now we're consumed with viral infections. That's how Christianity spread. It was a pandemic. At the end of the first century, there were as many as 25,000 Christians in the world, no more than that. But 200 years later, that number had grown to 25 million people because a new day started on Easter. Any student of history needs to study this, needs to figure out why this happened. And these are not matters of faith, but these are simple historical facts. There was a man named Jesus, and he lived like nobody ever lived before. And he loved like nobody ever loved before. He taught like nobody ever taught before. And people adored him. He cared for people who were on the outside, the sick, the outcast, the failures, and the awkward. On Good Friday, his courage and his compassion got him arrested. His love led him to a cross, and his heart stopped beating. On Saturday, there was silence. And this is where students of history diverge. Perhaps, says one school of thought, a small group of people started a hoax. There were a few hundred of them, but they all got together, and they decided to make a practical joke and said that Jesus rose from the grave. And not only did they never profit a dime from it, but many of them went to torture and death without ever giving up the joke. That's hard to believe. Now, the alternative school of thought is this. On Sunday, Jesus really did rise from the dead. A stone got rolled away. Death was losing its sting. The grave lost its victory. Hell was defeated, death destroyed, and the prophets validated. Faith was vindicated. On Sunday, you got something beyond yourself to live for, something beyond your life to hope for, and something beyond hope to know is coming forever. That's why people were living generous lives, humble lives, service lives, and they were not afraid to die. Now, people start hoaxes all the time, I realize. But people don't die for a hoax. This was not a hoax. And that means that everything's different Life and pain and hardship and death, everything changed on Sunday. The clock restarted and it was a new day. Jesus often said during his life, "My hour has not yet come." When people pushed him to get his agenda started, he would frequently say, "My hour has not yet come." But when his hour did come, a new clock started, a new calendar. You know, at the beginning of Lent, we didn't know that our whole country was going to come to a stop. We didn't know that the whole world was going to come to a complete dead stop because we were cruising along through the longest economic expansion in the history of our country, and then suddenly everything just stopped, and now the world itself is holding its breath, waiting for life to get back to normal. We're waiting to go back to work. We're waiting for the economy to get started again. We're waiting for the school system and sports, even church. We're waiting for it to come. And we don't really know what's ahead. We might recover. We might not. But things will be different. That was certainly true of the early church as well. Jesus had risen from the dead. Now what? The early church gives us a nice roadmap that we might follow. Because they didn't worry so much about what was going to happen in this life. They were just so completely convinced that this is not all. They knew that there was another life to follow. And Christians fervently believed that a new day had begun and it was not going to end just because their heart stopped beating. I want to look at one of the passages from the scripture, the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 28. It describes the aftermath of the resurrection this way. After the Sabbath, at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and they became like dead men. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you're here looking for Jesus who was crucified, and he's not here. He has risen, just as he said he would. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell the disciples he has risen from the dead, and he's going to meet you in Galilee. And there you'll see him. Now I've told you." So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid, yet filled with joy, and ran to his disciples, and suddenly Jesus met them. "Greetings," he said. They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshipped him. And then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to meet me in Galilee. There they will see me." Now, I love how understated Jesus is in this passage. All he says is greetings. That's just a simple hello. That's all he says. It's as if he says, "Well, what did you think was going to happen? I told you I was going to rise from the dead. If God could create life, why couldn't he recreate it? If God made you, why can't he remake you?" "Greetings," he said. "Hello." There was a New Testament scholar named Dale Bruner. He's still around. And he was so fascinated by this address that Jesus made, this simple greetings. And he was trying to get this fascinating point across to some children one day, and he said, "Do you guys know what Jesus said when he came out of the grave? What was his first word?" And there was this little girl, and she said, "Oh, I know." I said, "Really? What did he say?" Well, she said, "Ta-da!" And that was a pretty good interpretation of what Jesus said. It's a pretty good translation. Sunday changed everything, but not in the ways that many people think. Now, most people think that Easter is just a change of season. You know, it's a time to plant flowers, wear some bright clothing, enjoy the warmer air, you know, the end of a cold winter. And then there are some really cynical people who say that Easter is a crutch for people who don't want to accept that death is the end, that life is brutal and short. But actually, that's not what it is in the New Testament at all. it's not told like it's some kind of fairy tale. One of the most striking things about the gospel accounts is that people became afraid. They were filled with fear when they heard that Jesus rose from the dead. In fact, they were more afraid now that the resurrection had taken place than they were before. Jesus never came to them and said, "Now you don't have to worry about anything." Jesus never came to them and said, "Now you don't have to worry about dying." He never said that. Fear and joy. That's what the women felt in Matthew. Fear and joy. Two emotions that don't normally go together. The Gospel of Mark says, trembling and bewildered, the women went out and fled from the tomb, and they didn't say anything to anyone because they were afraid. In the Gospel of John, we're told after the resurrection, the disciples all huddled together in little rooms, scared to death of what was going to happen to them. Now, to understand that, you have to put yourself in their shoes. I mean, Jesus had just been crucified, brutally put to death by the powers of his day, and the disciples are thinking, well, they're going to come for me next. So they're all hiding out. And then Jesus appears to his followers, and he never says, "Now your troubles are over. Now you can enter into this fairy tale idea. Now life's going to be easy, so the hard part's over." He never said that at all. All he said was, "The cross didn't stick. I didn't stay dead. So now you've got to keep on keeping on. You've got to keep on loving. You've got to keep on serving. You've got to teach, and you're going to suffer." He never said that this was a fairy tale. So there's this scary assignment that was given to these disciples, and they knew that Pilate and the religious powers were all going to be looking for them. They knew that it wasn't going to be hard, and Jesus already told them that he's not going to stick around. He's going to go back to his Father. He already told them, "You're going to do this. You're the one who goes out and gives this message that the cross failed." Man, do you think you live in a scary time? Is this a time of anxiety for us? Jesus was brutally murdered on Friday. Now he's risen from the dead, and he's given us this dangerous assignment. But those disciples found out that there was something more powerful than fear, and that was the joy of the hope of the world to come. Sunday is not a comforting little metaphor. Sunday does not mean that the stock market is going to rise again. Sunday is Jesus. Sunday means that Jesus taught us the truth about life, about God, about heaven, about serving, and about suffering. It was all true. And Sunday means that God created everything in the beginning. It got interrupted by sin. And now everything is starting over. The clock has started ticking again. You know, it's part of why we celebrate Easter on Sunday, the first day of the week, because creation began all over again. God created the world, and now he is recreating the world. He has given the disciples not a safe, easy life in front of them. He's given them a new identity, a new purpose to life, and a new mission to live out. You should notice that Jesus calls his disciples brothers, and that is the first time he's referred to them this way. Up until now, he's called them disciples, students, messengers, servants. This is the first time he says, "You are my brothers." And these are guys who had run away from Jesus. They had abandoned him. They thought they were failures and cowards. And Jesus says, no, you guys are my brothers. And now I'm going back to my God and your God. He's never said that before. Now he's telling us that the door is open so that we can have the same relationship with God that Jesus enjoys. This is a new identity, not based on performance. It's a gift of God. Up until now, Jesus has said, "You are my servants." Now he says, "You're my brothers." Easter's changed everything. It gives us a new identity, new friendship with God, a new family, a new purpose, but it does not make life safe. Sorry to tell you, it doesn't make my life safer. It doesn't make yours safer. In fact, Jesus said, if anybody wants to be a part of this movement, you're going to have to pick up your cross and you're going to follow me. In other words, in order to get to Easter, your own personal Easter, you have to go through your personal Good Friday. Your clock has to stop and start ticking again. there are just some things that you have to die to in order to really live. And the early Christians understood this, and you see it in their language all through the New Testament. They say, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. And I have this new story. Because there's a part of me that is selfish and sinful and messed up. It's a part of me that feels guilty and separates me from God. And the Bible calls that the old nature, but that old nature is dying. So on Friday, the idea was not so much that Jesus died so I don't have to die. It was Jesus died so I can die. Jesus was crucified so I can be crucified too. Those old habits that I'm ashamed of, I can't control them, I can't stop them, but I can surrender them on the cross, and He'll help me to get free. Those early Christians would say, we know the old self was crucified with Him so that my old self doesn't live. I'm not a slave to sin anymore, because anybody who has died is free from sin. I'm not what I once was. I'm somebody new. God has already seen me this way, and so he calls me His brother or His sister. And therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. The Apostle Paul spoke about this new birth using a Greek word, metamorpheo. And you can hear the English word, metamorphosis. That's the root. Metamorphosis, you know, you studied that in school. That's where a creature changes from one type of creature into a completely different type of creature. The old is dead. The new has come. The clock has stopped and restarted. And so I've been dying, and so have you. I've been dying inside because I do things that I don't want to do, and I'm not the man that I want to be, but I'm morphing into something else. It doesn't mean that I'm perfect. The old self keeps trying to come back to life, but the clock is ticking on the old self. And when I sin, I remember the penalty that was paid for my sin in full on Good Friday. There is nothing that I can add to it. I make amends with the people that I've hurt. And then I move on. I move into the future because I will not be defined by my old self. I will not be defined by my failures. Easter is the day that we celebrate that Jesus is alive. He's still forgiving sin. He's still giving people a new identity, a new reason to live, a new hope beyond death. Do you believe that? You know, I know this quarantine has been hard, and some of us have been looking for ways to pass the time. We've been watching junk on Netflix. Have you seen the show Tiger King? Not me. There's better stuff out there. I want to recommend to you a movie. It's called Unbroken. Better yet, read the book. But it's a story about a man named Louis Zamperini. Louis was an Olympic runner in the 1930s, great athlete, but his career was cut short by World War II. And soon he found himself as a gunner on a plane above the Pacific where he got shot down. He survived the crash and had to live on a raft with no rations for 47 days. And after suffering through 47 days at sea, he was picked up by the Japanese. And he went to a POW camp where he was tortured mercilessly. Amazingly, he survived that as well, and he came home. Should have been a happy ending, but instead, he was so broken and so bitter by all the death he had seen, by all the suffering he had experienced, by all the pain. The only relief he found was in alcohol. And he threatened to just ruin his life, ruin his marriage. His wife, in a desperate last-ditch attempt to save the marriage, insisted that he should go to one of these things called a crusade. And there was this young, positive preacher named Billy Graham there. She said, Louis, would you please maybe go to this? Maybe there's something there that can help you. And so Louis went, and he listened to this sermon, and he heard a story about a guy named Jesus who lived and loved like no one ever did before, who got crucified, who died and rose again, And Lewis agreed with Billy Graham, this really happened. This guy had really risen from the dead. But when Graham asked if people were ready to surrender their lives and admit their sins, Lewis got very upset. He said, this guy knows nothing about me. He doesn't know anything about what I've been through. He doesn't know the pain. He doesn't know the death that I've seen. He doesn't know the grudges that I have a right to. And he got up and he wanted to leave. He wanted to walk out of there. But he couldn't make his legs move because he knew that the story he just heard was true. And when he would leave, he would be left only with the bitterness in his life, the pain that he felt, the anger toward everyone who had hurt him. And that's when he crumbled into the dirt. And he gave his life to Christ. And he found a new identity. And he lived this phenomenal life until he was 97 years old. He just died about 6 years ago. Friends, God has a phenomenal life planned for you. It may not be a comfortable life. It may not be an easy life. But he has a phenomenal plan for you in this life and the next. I know some of you are living it, but I wonder if some of you are missing it. You might be far away from God. You might need a restart right now. I'll tell you what, I don't know about the economy. I mean, it goes up and down, but you are an eternal being with an endless future in front of you. Is your heart open right now that maybe you'd let God talk to you? Maybe you're far from God. Maybe you've done some things that you're not proud of. Well, in Jesus, you have a Heavenly Father who says right now, come home. I love you more than you can believe. Would you pray with me, please? Oh, Lord God, we live in such a weird time. Your church is scattered in fear, just like the early believers. We ask that you would bless our world, bless us with a new vaccine against the COVID-19 infection. We ask that you would keep our loved ones safe, bless those who are sick to recover. Please give us a restart. Start this world again. We long for it. We ask you. But most of all, we just thank you that you are in control, that you see farther than we do. And that you're doing things that we aren't capable of understanding. And we thank you that your Son Jesus rose on this day and promised us an eternal restart with your family in heaven. Now, friends, if you've never prayed this prayer, you might say, God, I confess my sin to you. My sins put Jesus on that cross on Friday. And I want to receive forgiveness, not because I'm a good person, I'm not, but just because of the gift of your grace through what Jesus did. God, I want Jesus to be my friend and my guide and my leader. I want to have a new reason to live. I want to have a new identity. I want to have a hope beyond this life. Father, we're grateful. We're grateful that you're here with us, that you love us. Thank you for sending your Son to walk on this earth to bring hope and renewal, to bring forgiveness and love. God, we give you our worship and our praise. And we do this together in the name of the one who defeated death. Amen.